Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and this one is about family trips, large family trips. Finally, the Family Dream Cruise, destination Alaska, number of travelers 22, trip organizer Jenny Gillette, age 45. My dad's parents died in 2019. My grandma always wanted to take the family on a cruise, but my grandpa wouldn't go for it. When they passed away, my dad said, "Okay, we're going to do what grandma wanted." The 22 people included my mom and dad, all six of us kids, our spouses, one spouse couldn't go, and our children. The cruise got delayed twice because of COVID, and each time we rebooked it, we upgraded. My dad said, "We've waited this long. Let's pay the extra and put everybody in veranda rooms, and let's try to get us all together." We ended up with eight consecutive balcony rooms, and the kids could run and play in between the rooms. If you've never planned a cruise, step one is to talk with one of the cruise line's consultants. It saves you so much work, especially if you have a lot of people. We told her the time frame we were considering and asked her for pricing options. She helped us figure out how many rooms we needed, how many people per room, and so on. She emailed a quote and showed us where the rooms were in the ship and how much each stateroom would cost. Once we figured out what worked for everybody, we booked it and made our deposits. I'm the oldest child, so I tend to take responsibility for planning. The biggest challenge for me was making sure that everybody had the necessary paperwork to get on and off the ship. Every day for the last 2 weeks before we left, I sent texts saying, "Please make sure you have your passports. If you're not using passports, make sure you have your ID and your birth certificates." I was terrified that someone would forget something. For most of us, seeing the Hubbard Glacier was the high point, and that was one of the reasons we got veranda rooms, so that we could see things together. The 2 years of COVID had kept us apart. The family was trying to be really safe, and some cracks had started to form in our relationships. That week on the cruise ship, being so close together and just having a good time, we repaired those fractures, and I think my grandma would have been really happy about that. Family cruise tips. Have one negotiator. When talking to the consultant, I ask everybody's questions, says Gillette. That way we weren't bombarding our consultant any more than I already was. Choose one person to represent each family. That, too, simplifies planning. In this case, the wives ended up taking the lead for their respective families. You don't need all 22 weighing in, said Gillette. Research medical services. Ask ahead if anyone in your party has special health needs. The boat's medical staff proved indispensable when Gillette's dad had a heart health scare. Consider a smaller ship. Alaska cruise ships start at 22 people and scale up to 4,000 plus. The Gillettes opted for one that was about half that size, which helped with one of their party's mobility issues. Bigger boats equal longer walks. Next, a bucket list multi-gen honeymoon. Destination, Senegal. Number of travelers, 14. Top organizers, Monique Waters, age 37, and Norris Williams, age 36. Waters. As we researched this trip shortly after we got married, we kept thinking, what about Africa? What if friends and families came with us? So we invited aunts, uncles, parents, nephews, and close friends, and we went on a 9-day trip to Senegal. We didn't have the experience to organize it ourselves, but my research led us to Henderson Travel Service, the first black travel agency in the U.S. We had conversations about what we wanted to explore, whether it was art and dancing or even tribal affiliations. They took our feedback and rated and curated a tailor-made trip. Williams, For my mother, going to Africa was a long-time dream. She said she felt profound joy, love, gratitude, and peace there. For me, it was less about the activities and more about watching the family bond. We built a village around each other. It was transformative for all of us. Multi-gen honeymoon tips. Ask first. Waters and Williams sent an online survey asking for everyone's interests and concerns and questions. Centralize information. The couple built a website that detailed costs, itinerary, hotels, vaccine requirements, and more. And spread out the payments. Rather than asking for a lump sum, they created a four-part payment plan with deadlines. Now looking at AARP, the bulletin, under the heading of Your Money, new tax breaks and rebates could lower the cost of big-ticket home improvements should you spend to save on home energy costs. Thanks to a fascinating range of new and improved energy systems and equipment, homeowners can increasingly tap into the sun on their roof, the air temperature outside, even the stable year-round temperature, some 100 feet in the ground below our homes, to cool, heat, or generate electricity for their homes. Most of these technologies are earth-friendly, meaning you can reduce your carbon footprint substantially. But that's just one of the driving forces behind the surge in energy retrofits among homeowners. People want more comfort and lower utility costs, said Scott Fisher, managing member of New Jersey company Seal Power, which installs home insulation and other energy-saving upgrades. Though estimates vary, average energy costs easily top $2,000 per year. There's also the game-changing package of tax credits and rebates included in last year's Inflation Reduction Act, IRA. Those financial incentives make now an excellent time to consider big investments to reduce your household's reliance on the established energy grid. These new tax credits include $2,000 a year for any combination of heat pumps, heat pump water heaters, and biomass stoves and boilers. If you make investments gradually, you could claim the max each year on your tax return. Clean energy tax credits for solar, geothermal, and wind power systems can go even higher, and unused amounts can be carried forward to benefit you on future tax returns as well. In addition to energy credits, the IRA authorized nearly $9 billion in rebates for upgrades that make homes more energy efficient or shift reliance away from fossil fuels and toward electric power. These rebates, which will be administered by states, can go as high as $14,000 for low-income households and cover such things as a new electric stove or a heat pump dryer. Some crucial details remain unknown. What incentives will utilities offer customers to encourage improvements? How will states, which are determined the federal rebate programs, deliver them to buyers? Which products will the Department of Energy, DOE, and the Environmental Protection Agency certified as qualified for credits? And here's the bottom line question for homeowners. How long will it take for your lower energy bills to offset your after out-of-pocket costs? That depends on a slew of factors, such as your climate, the amount of energy you use, the heating and cooling systems you have now, and utility rates. To help estimate that number, use the DOE's RES stock analysis tool, RESSTOCK.NREL.gov/factsheets, and consult contractors who specialize in energy upgrades, since you can help evaluate potential savings in your area. With that in mind, let's tour the options for some big energy upgrades. Solar electric panels, what they do. Convert sunlight into electricity. Cost. Rooftop systems run from about $15,000 to $25,000. Storage batteries can add $12,000 plus. In Florida, for example, a solar system plus storage battery ranges in cost from about $21,000 to $61,000. Available credit, 30% of your investment with no cap. Average savings, about $1,000 or more a year, or between $20,000 and $75,000 over a system's roughly 25-year lifespan, proponents say. Systems that let you sell excess power back to the grid on sunny days can help shorten payback time. Some utilities purchase so-called solar credits from homeowners to meet state sustainability goals. Makes most sense for well-insulated homes with unshaded south-facing roofs or yards, and owners with cash up front or an ability to finance. Keep in mind, panel replacement may be subject to zoning rules and permits. Buildings and trees can throw shade on your energy farm. Backup power will likely be needed on a cloudy day, especially if you don't have a storage battery. You'll occasionally need a pro to wash the panels down. Your utility may buy power from you at a lower price than the one it charges you. Air source heat pump, what it does. Working like a two-way fridge or air conditioner, removes heat from the air and blows out cool air in summer, does the reverse in winter. Moving heat rather than generating it, these electrically powered pumps are typically more efficient than conventional air conditioning systems and furnaces. Systems can be centralized or deliver warm and cool air via individual mini splits, which allow for more localized control and are better suited for smaller spaces. The cost between $12,000 and $20,000 for a centralized system. Available credit, 30% of the total, up to $2,000. Average savings depends partly on what fuel you'll be switching from. It could be $1,500 a year, for example, if you now have a propane furnace, the DOE estimates. The private research company Carbon Switch says you can save $637 a year in New York and $935 in Pennsylvania. Makes most sense for houses with aging HVAC systems in areas with rising utility rates. The colder the climate, the harder the heat pump has to work, and in some cases, you may need backup heat. Keep in mind, your overall utility bills should go down if you're switching from fossil fuel, but your electricity bill is likely to go up. It can be a challenge to find a seasoned installer with expertise in electricity as well as plumbing. You may need ductwork, which will raise the cost. You should make sure your system qualifies for your utilities rebate program before you buy it. Solar water heater, what it does. Installed on the roof or on unshaded ground nearby, it uses the sun's rays to heat water, which then flows into your regular plumbing. Active systems couple a collector and storage and can be more effective in colder climates. Simpler passive tanks work best in sunny climes. In most areas, these heaters are fast becoming eclipsed by hybrid heat pumps. See below. We'll deal with that in a minute. Cost $5,000 to $7,000 on average, up to $13,000, Home Advisor says. Available credit, 30% of the cost. Average savings, if your backup is an electric water heater, about $280 a year over the roughly 20-year lifespan of the heater, according to the DOE. Makes most sense for new homes, as the heaters can be more easily integrated with plumbing. They work best in areas where temperatures rarely fall below freezing. Keep in mind, in many areas, you'll need a two-tank system, or one in which the solar water heater preheats water before it enters a conventional water heater. Hybrid heat pump water heater. What it does, like an air source heat pump, uses electricity to move heat from one place to another. aided by fans and refrigerant filled tubes, it can slash energy use by up to 70% compared to conventional gas and electric heaters. The cost? Up to $3,000, sometimes more, compared to around $1,200 for a tank-style water heater. Available credit, 30% up to $2,000. Average savings, about $200 to $600 per year. Makes most sense for homes with aging water heaters and a room at least 1,000 cubic feet in size and a constant temperature range of 40 to 90 degrees in which to place the heater. Keep in mind, requires a drain and a 220-volt electrical source. Geothermal heat pump. What it does, it heats and cools your home and sometimes your water using electricity and pump to tap consistent temperatures of the earth below ground, 45 degrees to 75 degrees depending on your latitude, or a body of water. An efficient system can generate up to 4.5 times as much power as it consumes. Cost, $10,000 to $30,000 in general. Available credit, 30% up to $2,000. Average savings, the systems cut energy use by 25 to 50% compared with fossil fuel systems, and up to 72% compared with electric heating and standard air conditioning. Lasting 20 years or more, the system can pay for itself in 5 to 10 years, depending on where you live and your utility costs. Makes most sense for new buildings, though homes across the country are being retrofitted with these systems. Keep in mind, not all sites are geologically conducive. These systems may require drilling 100 to 400 feet into the ground. Installation costs vary enormously. And the sidebar article here is Easy Energy Upgrades. Before you install new equipment, and even if you don't, professionals advise taking some simple measures to make your energy usage more efficient. The first step is an energy audit, a professional survey of your home designed to uncover ways to reduce your energy consumption. Most public utilities offer this free of charge or with a nominal fee. Then comes what's known as an envelope upgrade, adding insulation and sealing leaks around windows and doors in order to keep warm air inside in the winter and outside in the summer. That weatherization is the low-hanging fruit that drives down energy demand, according to John Mitchell, partner at Brooklyn, New York Home Energy Consulting from BuildType. Get that energy audit and weatherize first. The IRA allows for up to $1,200 a year in envelope upgrade tax credits, and up to $3,200 when they are coupled with the purchase and installation of a new energy-efficient furnace, boiler, or central air conditioning system. The DOE's Weatherization Assistance Program, energy.gov/WAP, provides free audits and upgrades for low-income households. Now let's take a look at great ways to save airline travel. Depart as early in the day as possible. Early morning flights, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., will only shave about 2% off the cost of your flight, but they're half as likely to be delayed as flights that leave later in the day, after 9 a.m. That could save you the headache and the associated expenses that can come with a delayed flight. Check out the new airlines. Two airlines, Avilo and Breeze, launched during the pandemic, and another, Northern Pacific Airways, is slated to start flying this spring. New airlines like these often have a strategy of winning market share by offering ultra-low fares. One caution, these airlines tend to highlight base fares for tickets, so make sure you understand the total cost before making the purchase. Check out the competition. As startup airlines add new routes, established airlines flying those routes often lower their prices amid the increased competition. Book your group members separately. Airlines often have certain numbers of seats available at each pricing level. If they only have three tickets available at $200 and you're trying to buy four seats at once, they won't turn up in your search. Book individually or in groups of two. You could nab the low-priced seats. Use your airline card to save on other expenses. In addition to racking up miles, paying for a flight with an airline credit card may offer unexpected savings on travel like free checked bag or discounts on in-flight food and drink. And finally, make a stop. Direct flights cost on average 20% more than those with a layover, according to Google Flights. If you aren't pressed for time, you can make a layover more palatable by downloading the apps where you can find things to do at the airport, like shopping tips or restaurant recommendations. Now, from AARP, the magazine, we have a series of articles, Family Farms Through the Ages. Two or more generations of the same family have worked each of these American farms, in some cases for hundreds of years. It's a tradition that binds people young and old to places and enterprises and to ways of life that are becoming rarer and rarer as farm life is squeezed out by modern ways. Our first farm is sheep. Green's Lamb, Whitehall, Maryland. David and Nancy Green, both 81, can't remember a time when farming wasn't their dream. His ancestor arrived from Ireland in 1752 and got this farm in 1786. That makes David the sixth generation of his family to work the 100-acre property, which the Greens have turned into a successful sheep raising operation. I grew up on a smaller farm about 10 miles away, David says. The farm we're on now came down from my mother's side of the family. Her father grew up here. This is where we had family gatherings and reunions. It always felt like home, and it feels good to succeed at something difficult. When we started dating, Nancy says, we would come up here and see his relatives, and I loved this place right away. The couple sell wool and livestock, but their main income source is meat. We're pretty efficient, especially now that we only sell directly, David says. People come to the farm to get their orders 2 days a week. With no children, the Greens know that the farm may be sold eventually. I'm a realist, David says. It would be nice if I went out the road first before the sheep did. I would be very happy with that. I'd rather not be the one who sells it. Now, how about corn? Plus, Vetter Heritage Farms, Aurora, Nebraska. The Vetter Farm dates back to the late 19th century, when pioneers streamed into Nebraska's Hamilton County. By 1908, Stephen Vetter's grandfather was successfully farming. Eventually, Steve's dad was too. Steve, now 74, moved to Lincoln, became a pharmacist, and married Doris, 73, a high school English teacher. But by 1980, farming had lured him back. In 2011, he retired. His son, Curran, stepped in to run the 900-acre operation. Doris and Steve currently live in Aurora and visit the farm often to spend time with Curran, his wife, Megan, and grandkids, Phoebe and Michael. Two other sons live nearby. When all the grandchildren are playing in that big yard, you remember past generations doing those same things, Doris said. Some change is welcome. We're always trying something to diversify and not just rely on corn and soybeans, says Megan. So we have chickens and bees, and we've started a Christmas tree farm. Through the dust bowl, hail, tornadoes, and constantly fluctuating crop prices, farming has been a really good life, says Doris. We'll look at one more today. Ginseng. Sue's Ginseng Farm in Wausau, Wisconsin. Paul Hsu, 80, a native of Taiwan whose family were farmers there, started the farm in Wisconsin as a mail-order business in 1974. His son Will, 46, graduated from college in 2000, earned an MBA from Harvard, and then went to work for General Mills. There wasn't much reason to come home, Will says. I had a good job. The market for ginseng was horrible, and there's nothing that's especially fun about picking rocks or managing pests. But when Paul was diagnosed with cancer in 2010, Will, his oldest son, came home, and over the next 5 years, the farm's management slowly shifted to him. I knew the farm was where I needed to be, Will said. Today, with Will at the helm, the 1,000-acre farm is a global operation, producing more than 200,000 pounds of ginseng annually. With new management came new ways of doing things. I used to dig posts and pick rocks by hand, recalls Paul. Now we have mechanical harvesters and post pounders that line everything up perfectly using GPS. Still, Paul keeps his hand in. I focus on the part of the business I love, which is spending time in the woods. It can take 10 years for the roots to fully mature, but it's nice to see them coming in. It makes me so hopeful about the future. Now, would you believe we've almost come to the end of this money-saving 99 ways to save? We've got two left. Save while saving. Keep your cash working. Consider moving your bill-paying money from a no-interest checking account into one that pays interest. Put the rest of your cash into a money market account. Finally, call to waive late fees. Did you get nailed with a late fee because you paid your mortgage or credit card bill a few days late? Get on the horn. Unless you are chronically late, they'll almost surely waive the fee if you ask nicely. And that's it for 99 ways to save from actually 2022. Now we have another tip or two. I was robbed. Somebody cashed a check that I mailed, but not the intended recipient, and for a different amount. This sounds like check washing, a fraud in which a thief dissolves the ink to change the payee's name and even the dollar amount. You're generally protected by state law in this situation. Immediately let your bank or credit union know the check was fraudulently cashed. If your money isn't reinstated, file a complaint with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The CFPB will send the grievance to your financial institution. Typically, businesses respond to complaints within 15 days. To help prevent check washing, use black gel ink, which is harder to wash out. And this tip was from Lisa Weindraub Schifferle, Senior Policy Analyst. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.